I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy.
Wills and won'ts.
Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? What? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car. For $10, you're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody.
Excuse me.
It's chilly out there. And it's not raining yet, but it's going to for a long time soon. Jeremy and Joe. Nate's in for Joe once again. Joe's on vacation this week.
Has he tweeted where he is? Can we say where he is?
He's somewhere warm.
He's where yes, he is where it is warm. Not just warm. He's where it is hot. He was reading me the forecast. 90s. So, yeah.
Sure.
90s.
I'll take it.
It's hot. Where he is. Hey, good morning. We're here. We've got you covered for the next 4 hours. Plenty to get to, including an NBA Eastern Conference preview with Eastern Conference Final preview with Steve Ashburner of NBA.com. Whenever we want to reach out and chat NBA, I always text Steve, and he's gracious enough to come on. So a little NBA talk at 9 o'clock. Football along the way. Plenty to get to. We've got a crazy stat of the day on the Carolina Hurricanes. Fun will be had by all. I demand it.
You demand
I don't
fun.
I don't promise it. I demand you it. Demand fun. It. Yes, okay. That's right. So okay. Those of you that are already up with us, good morning. And those of you in the chat, good morning to you as well. Bring a good vibe today. We'll do our best to do the same. One thing we talked a lot about yesterday. Nate, did you see it coming that the NFL would pass the flag football thing? Yes. Did you see it being unanimous?
No, I didn't.
I'm trying to think of how many times the NFL owners approve something unanimously.
Yeah.
A unanimous approval to say, yes, we will send players to the Olympics as part of flag football if they want to go. And the finer details, as you heard Josh in the update, the finer details will still be worked out. So we'll have more on that. Today they're going to vote on the playoff seating and the tush push. We can get to that a little later. But unanimous, which... We talked a lot about it yesterday, and we agreed on some parts, and we disagreed on some parts. We didn't really get to it in the early hour of the show here. So if you have a thought on the flag football story in the NFL, it's a good chance to give us a ring. The earlier crowd might not have been on this as much as we were later in the morning, like 7:30, 8 o'clock on. So wide open phone line, if you have a reaction to it or a thought on it, I'll ask you, do you think, whatever, 24 hours later, that we missed some part of it? Or are you more convinced about the NFL's vision for what it could be that it was unanimous? I mean, to me, that is a statement from the league that to not even have one dissenting vote.
Yeah.
Terry Pegula does not say, if Josh Allen wants to go, I don't want him to go out there. He's sure. Anybody wants to go, figure it out. But yes, in the PA, the NFLPA, the NFL CBA, I should say, you guys can go. Go win a gold medal for your country. And we'll figure out whether or not it hurts us.
Yeah, I guess I would say that I am a little surprised, but I also maybe want to point out that really this week what has felt like a lot of these votes don't really feel all like it's that much of a democracy anyways. Just a lot of the reporting about, did you hear the Green Bay report?
What's
about
that
why they're the team that's pushing for the push?
No, I heard why the we speculated why the Lions are the team making the playoffs. Yes. Point. Why is Green Bay making the tush push?
Supposedly, it's because they don't have a principal owner, so there isn't an owner to look at and say, "Why are you doing this, man?"
That makes sense.
So it's gotten me to the point, and it's not that I had these grand, innocent visions that the NFL is, you know, ruled by owners who actually think for themselves and have these, you know, decisions. I just think it's what Roger Goodell wants. It's going to get passed. They wanted it. Remember all the opposition to the 17-game schedule?
Yeah.
And then it just went away?
Yeah.
And they were like, you know what? Maybe we want 18 games.
And they're going to get 18 games.
If they want it, if Roger Goodell says it, they will have it.
Right. He works for the owners, but yes, he might be more of a director than some other GM or some other commissioners might be.
And, you know, listen, it's not. I'm not going to go down conspiracy theory way this morning, but, you know, if the Olympics said to Roger Goodell, this is a great money-making opportunity, we would love the NFL, the most popular, you know, whatever, outside of soccer, Premier League, the most popular sports league in the U.S. for the U.S. hosting the Olympics, this could really help us. You should get the NFL behind it.
Yeah.
What owner, you know, like, so for me, it just is like, okay, yeah, I guess I'm surprised it's unanimous, but if the NFL, if Roger Goodell says that's what he wants to, what he wants done, I guess that's just what's going to be done.
Yeah, he still has to get the votes. I mean, he's been wanting the tush push gone for a couple years now. That'll get voted on today, which, by the way, makes today happy last day we talk about the tush push being banned for maybe like 8-9 months. Today will be a vote, and if it doesn't get banned, then it's just back for another year. Yeah, you're talking about a commissioner that has his thumb on the scale to a degree. I want to defend that. Is that wrong? I think he is a better commissioner than Gary Bettman.
I think he's a better.
I mean, those are the two sports we have in town, and when the NFL sees something it doesn't like, forget about the criticism. That Roger Goodell says, in his opinion, he thinks the tush push basically is bad and should go away. And whether it's Green Bay, you laid out that point for why they are the team, or if it's the Bills claiming safety, which I think doesn't really fly as an argument right now, he is trying to guide the league in a direction, also to 16 international games. He said that yesterday. And I think I appreciate that, as opposed to the commissioner that isn't thinking like that and is just a shield for the owners to say everything is great all the time. And the NHL and the NFL both have imperfect playoff formats. The NFL is looking to revamp theirs. The NHL, which is much worse in their playoff format, they haven't had a vote to change it in, what, 10 years? It's been a terrible format. And I actually have numbers to back that up, too. So you're okay. All right. I did not see that about Green Bay, and that's why they've been chosen. Speculation reporting there? Okay. I want the tush push banned. I want the playoff seeds changed. I didn't really care about the players at the Olympics. So, you know, if Goodell wanted my vote, I would have said probably sure. If you owned a team, how would you vote on these three issues? How would you vote on the tush push? I would get rid of it. I wouldn't even think twice. Like, yeah, sure, let's get rid of that thing. I think it looks dumb. I think it's dumb the Bills do it as much as they do. It's not dumb because it works. Except for one very important game where it didn't work very much. But other than that, just because of that, let's never run it again.
Let's never
see it again in our lives. I'd get rid of it in a heartbeat. I have come all the way firmly to, yes, let's change the NFL playoff structure. Firmly there. In fact, I've got a list of teams that should vote yes. I'll tell you why. They need 24. I think I got to 22 teams that should vote yes. Definitely should vote yes.
On the schedule change.
On the reseeding, yes. On the new playoff.
The playoff schedule.
Yeah, on the new playoff format. And then on the Olympics, you know, we got into this a lot yesterday. Then here's Justin Jefferson. I saw an interview with him. I sent it to Josh. We'll play a little bit later. Jefferson talking about how big it is for flag football as a sport and how big it is for men and women, of course, because there are flag football leagues and women's flag football will be an Olympic event. So far, the best case I've got for it in terms of why it makes sense and why it, I don't know, again, like why it will work or what it exists for is it paves the way for other people to play football that aren't 6'6" quarterbacks or 6'5" defensive tackles that weigh 290. You want to just play football because football is fun and we want to grow this game on a global level the same way you can play. You can go to Delaware Park and watch seven people just playing soccer. You don't really see that for football nearly as much. Maybe in 20 years you will. Think about the history of your sporting life. Where are there fields and what games did you play pickup? Did you play pickup basketball?
Certainly.
Endlessly. How many courts are there?
A
million.
A
baseball in your life. Did you play pickup baseball? I did endlessly.
I did.
That might have gone away a little bit, but whatever. There's baseball fields everywhere. Go play baseball. Soccer. Run onto a field and play.
Yep.
Football. You aren't really allowed on fields.
No.
Anywhere there's a field, an actual field, you're not allowed on it. And if you want to play, you're going to go just out to an actual open field.
Front yard.
And mark up cones and play. And that's still super fun. I just wonder if the NFL has long-term concerns about safety of the game. And this is another conversation to have that makes the game seem more inclusive. I don't know. I'm looking for every single way that in those meetings they were convinced 32-0 to vote yes. To put Lamar Jackson out there at the Olympics if he wants to play there. It's kind of surprising to me. I don't have a problem with it. It's just it came on us quick.
It did. And then for it to be that unanimous.
It got approved fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be one thing if we were like, well, you know, a lot of the players are pushing for this. I hadn't heard a lot of reports that it was like the players were really pushing for it. Like you said, and I think this is right. I think largely there will be a handful of players that really want to play. And to be clear, it's one player per team, correct?
One player per team, we think.
Okay.
It might be one player per team per country. These finer details are a little different. Trying to figure out these finer details. That's where the IOC comes in, the PA, all that.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't know if it's one player per team or one player per country per team. Could you have a player wanting to play for Italy if his heritage is Italian?
Yeah, and I don't exactly know how that works. I know in basketball, like you've got like Karl Anthony Towns played for Puerto Rico, but he's born in Puerto Rico. His family's from Puerto Rico. Dominican Republic?
Yes, I was going to say Puerto Rico is an American territory.
Yes, Dominican Republic.
Yes. Okay.
I apologize. Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, do you have to be born there? Can you just be, like, I'm 50% or 75% Irish. Can I go play for Ireland?
It's a good question.
I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, I don't either. AC writes in on the YouTube chat, the feed, organized flag football will inevitably get to a point where only specific types of athletes and builds are playing, just like any sport, and universal appeal will fade in due time. Well, I don't know I don't know about that. It's just being fast and agile.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get...
Someone said this yesterday, and this is my concern for NFL players playing flag football. It's not dramatically different movement, but it's different movement than they're used to. And those guys train their movements. Like you watch any training video of running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They're training how they play. So there are different the squat shimmy. Is that what I called it? Squat shimmy?
Daryl Doucette dropping the I was calling it the hip drop. Not the hip drop tackle, just a hip dip. Hip dip, we
call
it.
Hip drop shuffle.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not something you see a lot in the NFL.
I mean, am I to believe that an NFL running back couldn't do that?
Not that I'm saying they couldn't. I'm just saying these are going to be a little bit of they're different movements for players that are...
Yeah, a lot of the highlights were guys running, holding the ball high above their head and
stopping,
twisting, and get skinny through contact. You know what? You know what it also looked like to me? As maybe over the last 24, 48 hours, you've watched some of these international flag football highlights. It also looks to me, one other way to say this, while you're impressed by Daryl Doucette, which is, what's his nickname again? He's got a nickname. I forget what it is. Is it Hush?
Huh.
He's got a nickname. Anyway, he's the starting quarterback, and Hoosh money? Yeah, there you go. Hoosh. He's got a shirt on, H-O-U-S-H. Anyway.
Apparently it comes from his resemblance of T.J. Hoosh-Manzada.
Hoosh-Manzada. Okay, he's Hoosh. Hoosh Doucette. Okay, fair enough.
Hoosh-Manzada.
That comes from
a name I haven't heard in a long time.
That's right. What was I going to say?
Josh, you're too young to know T.J. Hoosh-Manzada.
What are you talking about?
Do you know him as T.J. Hoosh-Mazilli?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hoosh-Mazilli?
You know T.J. Hoosh-Mazilli?
Oh, I certainly
do. The commercial with the fantasy football, right? Anyway.
It's kind of like the J.P. Lossman commercial.
Which one's that?
Kenny Stabler? He's the reincarnation of J.P. Lossman's reincarnation of Kenny Stabler?
That one, I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that one?
I don't remember that commercial.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't remember that one.
That was a good one.
Okay.
That was NFL Network, I think.
What was I going to say?
We got into...
About getting skinny in these players Hoosh. And...
Hoosh money?
Yes. What was I going to say? Oh, no.
I'm sketched out about that. That's where I...
About what?
Like... The stopping and the starting and like that to me, it's just a breeding ground for non-contact injuries.
Now I remember what I was going to say. These highlights look like, you know, your most agile NFL players. I saw someone put together a list where Twitter's AI and ChatGPT were asked to put together teams.
Like the best possible
best flag football teams. Like here's what's useful in flag football. Who should be on the team?
Sure.
And. Who was a universal choice? Kyle Hamilton was both teams. Sauce Gardner was both teams. Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson were both teams. Sure. Is it a slightly different skill set? Yeah. It's the 7-on-7 stars in NFL football that would be flag football stars. What I was going to say is these highlights are somewhat of a recall of when you watch highlights of Jim Brown.
When, like, UPS drivers were playing?
Yeah. Yeah. All due credit to the guys running with the ball.
Yes.
The guys tackling are not as gifted and skilled as Kyle Hamilton's ability to track someone like that.
No doubt. Here's the thing about flag football. Have you played, like, actual flag football?
Where you're grabbing the flag?
Yes.
Not two on two, but grabbing the flag.
Yeah, not two-hand touch, but, like, flag football's hard. Like, all of your momentum, everything you do in football, you are chasing the man or the woman in the case of flag football. When you get into flag football, your eyes go from I'm looking at you to I am now looking down at your waist. And it is a major change in how you are, like, thinking about and approaching. Because I just think about when you grow up and you're playing football, how you are taught to tackle. Is you tackle with your head up. Like, everything's your head up. You need to be able to see the tackler. And when you're going down to grab a flag, like, that's how those stop moves happen. You know,
that's boom. How Hoosh Doucette smokes you.
That's how you beat that. So, yeah. And so I'm just saying, there will be NFL defenders. If their NFL defenders do play, yes, they're much better than probably the guys that are, defending in the pro flag football leagues right now. But it's not like their job's going to be any easier. To me, it is a very notable change on movement and your objectives. And like, that's why it's like, I know there's going to be NFL players that play. Which ones I'll be super interested to see.
Do you feel like you are going to watch them and hope that somebody smokes them? There's a highlight of Tyreek Hill getting smoked off the line by a young girl playing flag football, and she drops a move on him and dusts him.
You're asking me if I hope some NFL players get humbled. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Because
on that play
either.
That Tyreek Hill got absolutely roasted, what happened? He caught up to her and batted the pass. He didn't catch it, but whatever. 803-0550 on the flag football unanimous vote in the NFL. And some of the quotes about this, the comments about this, it's just kind of wild that, again, like, I'm struck by how quickly it came on, and the vote was 32-0. Per a source with knowledge of the voting, it happened on the first ballot.
Wow.
Yeah. This is according to
Pro Football Talk. If it's unanimous, that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
Yep. And not through the not uncommon device of holding a second vote for PR purposes aimed at creating the impression everyone was on the same page. That's something Florio wrote. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He just can't write anything without throwing his own. Here's why it's a conspiracy.
Yes.
But he's whatever, interested in that it was unanimous as well, seeing like even Mike Brown, who often votes no on everything, was a yes. So it is, it's coming. 2028. What Bills player will go? Who even knows who's on the team at that point? Max Hairston. There's my pick.
I would agree with you.
Max Hairston.
Yes.
Your best flag football. I wonder if you could get a scout on here.
Would we say, what would you say, what would you cut? You're building a team.
Mm-hmm.
What trait would you covet in flag football? And is it different than if you were building an NFL team?
Sure. Your flag football team would be entirely speed and agility.
Just straight speed.
Yeah. Speed and agility.
Yeah.
And dexterity.
I might add someone like Keon Coleman. The 50-50 ball is increasingly important in flag football.
Yeah. Sensitive subject about Coleman if you want to bring him up a little bit later.
Oh.
Yeah. The Matt Harmon reception perception.
Oh, did it come out?
Yeah.
It came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are going to want a hazmat suit.
Oh.
For
it gets messy.
Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com, who I largely consider to be one of the best evaluators of wide receivers,
agreed,
independent of quarterbacks. I'm debating when to bring it up, why to bring it up, and how to bring it up because it is trouble.
Should we do it early? You know, for the early crowd, maybe.
Well, the one thing to say about it is, hey, look, a lot of people were wrong about Josh Allen.
Yes.
And this is, you know, just one person's opinion, but looking at his first season, he didn't hold back on how really dreadful it was.
Ah.
Yeah. In terms of separation, the things he couldn't do, the things he didn't do. If you can't separate, are you separating in flag football? You're saying you're going to go over top of people? I'll just get another person there.
NFL.
He also didn't have a very good contested catch rate.
No, but I where I'm going is the contested catch guy is also
you're thinking the basketball basketball player.
Yeah. You right. Need one of those guys.
Maybe.
DK. He'll be washed by then.
Right. We are forecasting 3 years in the future.
And a lot changes in the NFL in 3 years. Too much changes in 3 years.
Yeah. 803-0550.
I also, at some point this morning, want to talk about in our group chat. I know we kind of mentioned it, maybe it was Monday, but in our group that we did the Joe Marino thing, he was supposed to be on today. He's going to be on one like Friday.
Yep.
We talked about like the James Cook thing. If he was paid, would he be on that list?
Yep.
And I know you guys talked about it on your podcast a mm-hmm. little bit. I think I have a little bit more of a take on that at
on
some
James
point this
Cook?
Morning. Yeah, on that specific thing, if kind of how he's viewed based on his kind of murky future.
Yeah, it is murky.
It's murky.
Would he be good at flag football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not super like laterally quick, but man.
Yeah, you want the jump cuts.
Yes.
You want.
You want
more Gibbs. You want more, although Gibbs and
Saquon.
Yeah, you want Saquon.
You definitely want Saquon.
Saquon, I don't know.
Is there any other sport where Derrick Henry would walk in and might be the last overall pick?
You would not expect Derrick Henry to be, right, a highly touted flag football.
Any playground that Derrick Henry walks onto, he is the first round pick of everything except for flag football. First overall pick.
He's really fast.
He is
He's
fast.
Exceedingly fast, but right, he's... He runs
that
through.
That kind of.
He's Marchand. He runs through people's
right.
faces. And that's the whole idea. I'm going to run through your face.
And there's just, you don't need that.
Right. 803-0550. We did a lot with it yesterday on whether or not players would want to play, how the people in the flag football world will accept them. Everybody seems happy about it. A 32-0 unanimous vote to me sends a message that, like, of course the league was on board with this. And this, whatever the internal conversations convinced everyone, to me that was a stunner to see. Any vote that's very popular is 28-3. Go to Congress, ask if they think puppies are cute. It'll be like, you know, the Senate would vote that 90-10.
Yeah.
And here's 32-0 for flag football participants from the NFL. 803-0550 to join us. I want to hear your James Cook point here. What you want to bring up about Cook. We'll do that. I've got a stat of the day on the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'm actually going to bring in the Bills drought, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Toronto Maple Leafs all into one point, if you're ready for that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. Busy Wednesday.
Listen, the things you can do midweek, the energy that has been generated over 2 days.
Yes, very busy Wednesday. Yeah. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.